This time on Amazingly Terrible, we are watching Pro Stars, Episode 10, Roll to Victory.
These guys crack me up.
You're listening to Amazingly Terrible, the podcast that asks, is the help of Bo Jackson and Wayne Gretzky enough for Michael Jordan to beat a gang of street toughs at basketball? My name's Adam.
My name's Mike.
My name's David.
And I unfortunately have to present this hot trash. So,
and who are you?
Everybody knows who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The internet knows who I am.
It's me, Derek. Fuck. So, Pro Stars. So anybody who was alive in the late 80s, early 90s remembers the fact that for whatever reason, in addition to just idolizing, famous athletes, we as a society collectively put them in a bunch of bullshit that they shouldn't have been involved in, like random kids' cartoons on Saturday mornings. And we, of course, had to find things for them to do.
A jam in space.
Instead of being like, hey, I'm really good at scoring goals in hockey, or I'm one of the best two-sport athletes to ever have lived who got injured way too early, or I'm the best basketball player in existence. No, they had to fucking be assisted by some old Jewish lady and then have gadgets in their shoes and fly around in a hockey stick fucking winged airplane to go and help fucking disabled kids fight the Pontiac Hoods.
In this particular instance, they were helping disabled kids. I'm sure there are plenty of other times where they're beating up disabled kids.
Probably. Actually, no. So the premise of the show was that the Pro Stars were Bo Jackson, Wayne Gretzky, and Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, arguably the best basketball player of all time. Wayne Gretzky, arguably the best hockey player of all time. Bo Jackson, arguably the best athlete of all time, although his career was cut absurdly short by a hip injury because he played both football and baseball.
Yeah, I was going to say, he got injured because he was playing two different sports.
Yeah.
That required, like, two different,
Yep. Absolutely incredible.
But I remember
one of the best Bo Jackson videos, if you're so inclined, there's a video of him. Oh, I think he was playing left field, and he throws somebody out at first with, like, 106 mile an hour just throw.
Oh,
it's
just
not
a pass.
A pitch, just
nice.
flat-footed with a baseball, and this baseball goes across the stadium like a bullet. Like,
nice.
The dude was incredible. Had he had access to you know what I'm saying? Like, had he played sports in 2023,
today,
where we have much better, you know, sports physicians and trainers and everything else, he probably, I mean, he is a Hall of Fame athlete, but he would have gone on to a very long, illustrious career. It just sucks he got hurt so soon.
My question for you about that, though, is in this day and age, would they allow him to play two sports? Was this something that was like an artifact of the time? Because I know also Michael Jordan played two sports, too, because Michael Jordan started playing baseball at some point.
Well, Michael Jordan played two sports because Michael Jordan got caught gambling. And this is
a
two-part
that.
Question. Is it possible to play two sports nowadays? Yes. I think it is lucrative to play one or the other. Kyler Murray, the guy he's currently injured, but the starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals, was also drafted in the first round of the Major League Baseball draft. I don't remember who he was drafted by, but he could have arguably played both. I just think that there's more money to be made, you know, playing
just focusing
one or the
on
other.
One. Yeah.
The last guy that I can remember playing both was Deion Sanders, who had a Hall of Fame career as a cornerback in the National Football League for the Dallas Cowboys, winning Super Bowls with them, playing with a bunch of other teams too. And then he played, I think he was a center fielder. He played like 10 to 15 years of baseball too.
Oh.
Like just an incredible dual athlete. But I think nowadays, like if you were dual, like they tell you to dial into one or the other, you know?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's like,
the coaches want you to do that just so you're focusing like on that one core set of, like,
exactly,
muscle memory and, like, yeah.
And it also also goes into, like, hey, let's say you are baseball and football, and baseball starts in March after the football season, and it ends in, like, September, early October for a not good team. What if you're a good player on a good team that's playing in the World Series? Now all of a sudden you're playing baseball till early November, and, dude, that is, like, through half of the NFL season. Not ideal, you know, if you're an excellent football player on an NFL team. I'm going to look up how long only on Dion played, because I don't know that one off the top of my head.
What's interesting, though, is that all these players are actually playing two different sports professionally. One of them is always baseball, it seems like.
Yeah.
And baseball is always like the secondary one. Because Bo Jackson was originally a football player, right, before he went into baseball.
He was a baseball player for the Kansas City Royals, and then was he the Raiders? I'll have to look that up. But the whole thing is when he got drafted, it was him and then, what was the dude's name? Was it the Boz from University of Oklahoma who got drafted actually to the Seahawks? And he was this incredible. You ever seen the movie The Program, the football movie, where there's the guy who's on steroids? That character was based off the Boz. Like, he got busted for doing steroids. Anyways, was supposed to be this just absolute animal of a lineman in the NFL. Went to the Seahawks and then did nothing.
Gotcha.
Well, didn't he do everything? Like, wasn't there a commercial?
Oh, yeah, Bo Knows.
Bo Knows, yeah.
Yeah, Bo Knows.
Yeah.
Bo's not right,
so like everything except for hockey.
Neon Dion is Pro Football Hall of Fame, and he played football from 89 to 2005. With a four-year retirement in there, and then as a baseball player, he played baseball from 89 to 2001. Wow. With the Yankees, Braves, Reds, Giants, and then back to the Reds again. So, dude, he played for...
Oh, wow.
He played 12 years of baseball, and...
That's like a retirement gig.
Yeah, like, I'm just kind of bored, and 16 years of football. But anyways, Bo Jackson, he's only in the College Football Hall of Fame because he did not have a very, you know, he didn't have a very long pro career. So anyways, he was drafted by the Royals in 86 and played till 94. So he played 8 years of baseball. And then in football, he was a Raider from 87 to 90. And that's when he blew out his hip.
Oh, so he played football first and then went into football. Or baseball first and then went into football.
He played both. 86, okay. So 86, 87 season, whatever.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Cool.
Yep. Just, again, like, probably, arguably the greatest dual sport athlete who, unfortunately, career was cut short.
Yeah.
Like, it's a shame. You know what Bo Jackson's really into? Because I watched, I think it was a 30 for 30 on him.
Warhammer 40K.
No,
damn,
that'd be awesome, right. Though. No, Bo Jackson is really, really into archery.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's big into archery, like, so deer hunting with a bow, but also just all types of archery. He makes his own arrows, he constructs his own bowstring, like everything. Like in this 30 for 30 for him, that he goes into his like garage workshop, and it looks like a fucking Bass Pro Shop in there. And I was just like, wow, of all the things that Bo Jackson is good at, well, I mean, he's good at everything, so
yeah,
not surprising. But, like, of all the
Bo Knows
sports,
archery.
You know, it's not like Bo Knows golf. No, Bo Knows bow hunting.
You know, I figure that when he's not sportsing, he's probably doing something really relaxing. And I'll tell you, fletching your own arrows is very relaxing and cathartic. You're just sitting there lining them up, and it's a precise procedure, and it's fun if you're really into that.
It's also very sports adjacent.
So
he's
like,
he's doing the most cathartic of sportsing sports.
I'm sure he probably loaded his own ammo too. That's also cathartic. Measuring out the grain, putting in the primer.
Oh, I'm sure.
I used to do that with my dad. It was a lot of fun.
The documentary I was watching was going into him in archery, you know, just talking about that. So, but no, dude made a ton of money on endorsement deals because if you guys remember, I mean, even after he retired, Bo Knows was like,
oh yeah, yeah. Our childhood was lousy with those commercials, the Bo Knows video games, the Bo Knows milk, Bo Knows,
yeah,
like whatever he wanted to sell.
Yep.
And honestly, like it was. Like, when they actually made the joke here in this particular episode, it did not seem like it was, like, cliche or, like, eye-rolling or anything like that. It was just like, oh, yeah, I remember. They always used to say that. Bo, you always used to say, Bo Knows whatever.
Yeah.
Bo Knows ankle injuries, and you're going to be out for a week.
90s was, like, peak catchphrase. Like,
where
everyone famous, they had their go-to line. And
Oh, yeah.
Did I do that?
Yep.
Ay, caramba.
That's right. I forgot Bart did use a catchphrase.
It was like for the first season. And then after that, I remember in a later season, Don't Have a Cow Man was actually used by Apu.
Oh, yeah.
As, I guess, like, an call advertisement back. Because he was...
India.
Vegetarian.
Vegetarian, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe he was in India and they were, like, coming across the sacred cows and was like...
I think Apu is Pakistani, isn't he? I don't think he's Indian.
No, he's Indian.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. And he's, like, somewhat of a racist stereotype, which is the reason why they discontinued him, I think, like, 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Yeah. So, even though he was, like, a very, like, friendly and, like, you know, successful character, he was still a stereotype. So they're like, let's not do that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it at its core, stereotypes just are making fun of a thing that, a group of people do. So... it's not really good to make fun of people, so we should get away from doing all that kind of stuff and just find more true humor, like finding what we like. The insane stuff that we point out is kind of funny.
Yeah, it's time for us to find true humor like that you can find on this program, and
like star, the Jewish mom,
and star amazingly fleetable. No, I'm saying amazingly terrible. You could hear amazingly terrible in our other hit. Award-winning podcast, Star Amazingly Fleetable. Wait, did we ever actually? Excuse me.
I don't know what we called that thing.
Okay.
So we haven't released it yet. This is just in vain with this late 80s, early 90s. I don't even know what you want to call it. Like, increasingly adding sports superstars to additional pedestals and platforms where they all of a sudden became comic book heroes and... like, I don't see this happen nowadays, other than I guess maybe like putting a sports superstar into like Fortnite, maybe.
Dude, this was also peak corporate propagandism. Like,
yeah,
this decade was corporate propaganda because at its core, sports are all owned by companies, and this is just another attempt at advertising and marketing. And this was corporate propaganda. We can't get away with it nowadays. Or not we, they can't get away with it, because we could see through it, and you know, the internet kind of multiplies our intelligence while vastly
decreasing it.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's also the argument to be made that like the sports stars are also relatable to like kids and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
A little bit more, so it's easier to just like, oh, we have a baked in audience because these are popular sports players, so you know what, we're just gonna make money off of like marketing them for them, and then we're definitely going to get people to watch the show based off of that. I feel like today, one of the reasons why we don't really see that today is because we've gotten like a much higher caliber of programming that's come out of like just cartoons in general, as well as type of other media. And then on top of that, we've saw a shift away from the celebrity of sports stars to the celebrity of wrestlers, and we're seeing wrestlers actually breaking into the mainstream acting sphere much more readily than any sports stars used to.
But I feel like that's been going on just as long as... I mean, think about it, dude.
Well, no,
like,
I guess
Rowdy,
that's true.
Rowdy Piper did... What's the movie where he puts on the glasses and he sees all the propaganda and...
They Live.
They Live?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, They Live.
So the WWE and WWF superstars have been doing that forever.
And Andre the Giant was a Princess Bride.
Yeah. The WWF is a classic example of like thespian entertainment, where it's like they are actors that
kayfabe.
Are also good at tumbling.
Yeah. They've got the whole kayfabe going on with the the Carney days.
They're stuntmen with amazingly good charisma and the ability to project entertainment. I watched a couple by...
you guys are right. That's a good point.
You know, biographies on the wrestlers, like The Rock, it was so seamless for him to transition from WWE into acting because he was already doing that. Because every time they get up on stage, you get a couple tosses, a couple chair slams, and then they start talking. And then they monologue for like 10 minutes. And the audience loves it. And then they start throwing some punches. And then the other guy monologues for like 10 minutes. Such good entertainment. Oh, brings back memories, man. I love it. I would watch Triple H. I'm digressing. Anyways, Derek, back to you.
No, that's an excellent point. Is we as a society, we're accepting sports stars doing a lot more of that in their late 80s, early 90s. And nowadays, I just don't think we want our sports stars to do that. We just want them to be good at sports. Like,
yeah. Amen.
That's it. You know, like, some of them go in acting and, you know, but, like, for the most part, you don't see, like, I don't know, like Tom Brady, probably the biggest athlete, or like Tiger Woods right now. They're not doing pro stars.
Yeah. I couldn't see them doing it either.
But they could be. They could Maybe be. We bring it back. Maybe this is our calling.
Yeah, fucking no.
No, could you imagine? Tiger Woods, he would have, like, these ever younger...
out your sorority age sister.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of, like, young girls following him around.
This would be MTV quality promo.
And then what's going on with Brady now? Isn't there something where he, like, misappropriated funds from some campaign to
That wasn't Tom Brady. That was Brett Favre.
Brett Favre, gotcha.
Brett Favre misappropriated, I believe it was the PPP funds during COVID. To build a tennis court. From fucking minority, like, disabled kids.
Yeah.
I've read really about that. Bad. It was awful. It was
fucking bad.
Well, what happened with Tom Brady? Didn't Tom Brady get... Wasn't there some sort of... Oh, was that Deflategate? Was that Tom Brady, or was that also Brett Favre?
That was an old... Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be scandal, but, like, if you want to talk about, like, big scandal, yeah, Brett Favre really fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then who would the third person be? Messi?
Gosh. I don't even know.
A soccer player?
It would probably be some esports star now. So, like, some...
That's our reboot.
No, that's good. Like, some Korean kid Brady, that plays StarCraft 2 competitively that doesn't speak any English.
Just imagine your most stereotypical esports player. Let's use stereotypes here. And put them right in Pro Stars.
Nice. I was thinking it'd be funny if there was just, like, a random highlight player or something like that that nobody's ever heard of.
Pickleball?
Yeah, pickleball, yeah.
The cover story for why Michael Jordan played baseball was because Michael Jordan's dad passed away. I forget it was 93 or 94 when he went and did that thing. And rightfully so, he grieved him quite hard. And his dad had always wanted him to be a baseball player. So he stepped away from basketball and went to go play baseball. All of that is, for what everybody knows, is 100% true, right? Was that the principal motivator for him stepping away from the NBA? And there is a fairly well-believed, we'll call it an urban legend, because he's a known gambler. He likes to gamble. And allegedly, he got busted gambling during a couple of the NBA championship runs for the first time through, and the NBA was like, you're the biggest fucking star, and you're going to step away. Like, we caught you. We're not going public with this. We're not shaming your name, but you are going to step the... You're essentially going to suck up a 2-year suspension, and you're just going to say you're going to retire. And then, so that's what he did. And then he came back and he crushed out 4 more championships, or I forget exactly how many were on the front and back side. But yeah, that is the reason, allegedly, that Michael Jordan went and played baseball for the Chicago White Sox.
Gotcha.
And he wasn't great, but he wasn't terrible either.
Yeah, I always thought that it was he was just like an all-star athlete in general, and therefore was like very capable. Because I remember seeing like a lot of documentaries talking about the Dream Team back when they actually sent him to the Olympics with everybody else, and how everybody was practicing, but he would actually go out and play like an 18 holes of golf, and then come and play the game in the evening, and then the next day wake up bright and early first thing and go out and like play golf again, and like go out and do all these other highly physical activities while still winning all of those games during the Olympics. So,
you mean back after we lost in 88 to whoever, the United States was like, fuck this, we're going to get our NBA like superstars?
In 92, yeah, when we sent all of them over there. It was like him, Larry Bird, Charles Barkley, and like a few other folks.
Can we also call this is peak USA? Like, this is when everyone was like, yeah, America's winning. Like, because we were kicking ass in the Olympics, and we were kicking ass in the
world and the Gulf War.
You know, at least we thought that we were kicking ass, because, you know, we didn't have the internet until much later.
Because that was Saddam 1. Yeah, yeah,
Yeah, and so, yeah, Saddam bad, and we kicked ass. And actually, he invaded. There was a defensive war, and it was the right thing because Saddam was going to take over Kuwait. Like, easily. And we smashed him. We won, and rather than, you know...
Rather than, you know, total victory.
You know, go after him and kill him and whatever. We're like, okay, you know what? We won. Saddam, bad. We're going to slap sanctions on you. And we left. And it seemed like, you know, that's the right way to win the hearts and minds. And, you know, then the 2000s came around.
How the fuck did we get to Saddam? Michael Jordan in golf? All right, let's cover this absolute dumpster fire of a fucking cartoon in about 6 minutes.
Let's
it's
do it.
Awful.
We got this.
All right, so the show aired from September 14th to December 7th, 1991. It was the three athletes we've talked about, Wayne Gretzky, Bo Jackson, and Michael Jordan. The whole premise of the show was that the pro stars were going to help out a child in need. In this episode, we saw that the little boy in need was they needed to essentially keep the youth center open, and the youth center was essentially in threat of failing because the basketball tourney that they used to keep it open every year was being dominated by this team called the Pontiac Hoods, which was one of the few amusing points to this show is the fact that in the late 80s, early 90s, one of the most dominant basketball teams in the NBA was the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons were known as the Bad Boys. Like, they were called the Bad Boys, and they played in the Pontiac Silverdome. So this show is absolutely taking a dig at the Pistons of the late 80s, early 90s with the Pontiac Hoods.
Nice.
Yep. Anyways, this was the 10th episode to air. It was actually one of the few episodes in which the pro stars did not use their kind of gadgetry that we saw to go and almost in a superhero-esque type role, fight somebody.
They did have the rocket boots or the rocket shoes.
Yep.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they didn't use their gadgetry to like cheat at the game.
Well, yeah. So from what I didn't watch any other episodes, but from the very limited research that I did, the majority of the other episodes would be like a young child in the South Pacific was worried that Short John Silver was out fishing their local fishing village, and they were starving. So the pro stars had to go and help the kid out and defeat the pirate guy. But they did not defeat him in a basketball tourney. They defeated him with, like,
old-fashioned
guns. Fucking guns.
Good message.
So the gist of this episode is Michael Jordan is talking to his old college, I think he was roommate, teammate, whatever, who is essentially a youth director in the city of Chicago. He has a young boy who is a wheelchair-bound basketball athlete with him, and they are concerned that they're going to lose the funding to the youth center because this one team comes in and dominates the tourney every year. They're not going to be able to have the tourney anymore because the old Pontiac Hoods come in, and they're just dirty and terrible. And I don't remember if they even say how, but they're just like, yeah, the youth center is going to go.
They said that they're, like, too rough. They're too, like, physically violent, essentially, while they're playing. And nobody wants to play them because everybody gets injured whenever they play them. So,
okay.
But so, I'm curious. You don't want to talk about the intro here where Wayne Gretzky talks about that one time he lost confidence while he was playing when he was six? And the motherfucker was like, I'm 6 years old and I lost confidence.
I scored only one goal that season, and then Bo Jackson goes, who helped you out? And he goes, my coach. And then he goes, yeah, no, just kidding, it was me. And then he went on to score the most goals in NHL history at the end. Wayne Gretzky.
It's hockey. Hockey's not a high scoring game.
Yeah.
One goal a season is probably pretty good.
Yeah, one goal is plenty enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you're six.
Yeah. No, yeah, because, and that's the thing, too, is like, you're fucking 6 years old. What are you talking about a time you lost confidence? Give us, like, something real that you're talking about. That one time I lost confidence when I was playing against the Quebecois Qual Stars or whatever, and we were down by 3 points, and then I came back behind, and we won the game anyway. That's a real story, Wayne Gretzky.
Right.
Nobody wants to hear about when you were six.
You know, for me, it just kind of instilled in me that I really haven't ever had any dreams, because if he knew at six what he was
going to be,
was that, you know, he had that kind of determination. I don't even feel like that kind of confidence now to keep on going and just plod on to retirement. How is he like mustering all of this energy?
He was six. I had a lot more energy when he was a kid.
When I was six, I was probably still eating boogers. I mean,
yeah, but you're still scoring goals though, right?
No,
just with boogers, booger breath. I also like the fact that this whole opening where they have the live action talking between two of the three all-stars or pro-stars is Wayne Gretzky and Bo Jackson. Michael Jordan isn't there. And I really feel like that's probably... I haven't seen any other episodes, but I'm assuming that's probably the case for most episodes. Like, I imagine Michael Jordan did not show up that frequently. This does not quite seem like something that would, like, Michael Jordan would stoop to, I guess.
Make time for.
Yeah, make time for. Yeah, I can see that.
So I'm going to address that in a minute. But just, we were talking about Wayne Gretzky, and I'm like, this is the most prolific goal scorer, points scorer in hockey ever. And nobody's ever going to touch this record. But Wayne, when he was six, only scored one goal in a season. However, this motherfucker scored 50 goals in 39 games in one stretch of his career.
Yeah.
So this whole story is probably bullshit anyway. This is just like, I don't really know what to say. Make up a story about when you were a kid. All right. That was sick.
Wayne Gretzky is the only individual enshrined in a professional sports Hall of Fame that was admitted to the Hall of Fame the moment he retired.
Oh, really?
That one I know for a fact. Every Hall of Fame has some sort of probationary period, and there was a lot of people that argued that Tom Brady should have been inducted into the NHL Hall of Fame as soon as he was, like, retired for good. He did not, so he's got the five-year period. Baseball is, I think it's about the same. But Wayne Gretzky was unanimously voted in on the moment he retired into the NHL Hall of Fame. He stopped playing hockey, and the very next day his name was in the Hall of Fame. Like, that's how dominant he was as an NHL player. So, yeah, that one time Wayne scored one goal when he was six, he then scored, like, a gajillion over a 20-year career in the NHL.
Yeah.
So, just kind of blasting through this very thin plot.
Yeah.
They're going to lose. They're going to lose the tourney. The pro stars go out to Chicago. Wayne talks a lot about eating. In the course of this episode, that was kind of his running gag.
Yeah.
Like, everybody had, like, kind of a shtick in the show. Wayne Gretzky was kind of the comedic relief, always thinking with his stomach. Then you had Bo Jackson, who was kind of the muscle. And then you had Michael Jordan, who was kind of the cerebral. And fun fact, the guy who voice act Wayne Gretzky for this show is the same dude who voice acted Michelangelo in the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, I thought he was a Ninja Turtle. I knew he was a Ninja Turtle.
I heard this.
These three dudes who voice acted the three athletes here are very famous in a voice acting realm.
Well, what's interesting is you had mentioned Dorian Harwood, too, who played Bo Jackson. He's actually primarily a face actor. Like, if you look at him, you actually be like, oh, it's that guy. He's one of those that guys in face acting that did, like, a lot of different background characters. He was in Full Metal Jacket, 12 Angry Men. Been in a lot of stuff. So, as well as voice acting. It's cool. It's a good, pretty good cast.
Yeah, I mean, they got an absolute just... Holy shit, he was 8-ball.
Mm-hmm. He was 8-ball.
Pure Alabama Black Snake. Wow. Oh, my God. Yeah, so anyways, the guys they got to play, the pro stars, are grade A. And then the voice acting's good. Like, they're good at it. It's not cheesy. It's not
even the one, like, really cartoony cartoon character, which is their old Jewish lady inventor sidekick. I thought that her voice acting was also very good. It's cheesy, but it was still good.
Oh yeah, I mean, I was watching this show. I was like, is this racist or is this just whatever? And I kind of settled on it was whatever because she's kind of stereotypical, but not like in a derogatory way. She's more of like Q than anything else.
That's mom of mom's gym.
Yeah, I mean, mom, it's like she's like the team. She's the team mom. She just happens to be a Jewish mother. Yeah. Like, get out. You got retro rockets on your shoes. She just takes off in the airplane. She's a female character who's a strong character who is like the brains of the operation plus the invention, the gadget inventor, you know? So a bit harsh. Probably could have gone a little different direction, but I don't necessarily think it's bad. Anyways, they get to Chicago.
Which has the best pizza in the world.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's pie.
Yeah, that's not even pizza. It's like, it's cast iron casserole.
It's cheese pie.
Yeah. Yep.
I think that line is why Matt refuses to be in this episode.
His New York sensibilities were offended.
So Bo and Wayne, they essentially give Michael they give Michael an entrance packet to the tourney with the entrance fees, and Michael's like, hey, what am I doing with this? And they're like, we're not going to play. We're going to eat, but here's money. Like, we want to donate. So he's like, okay. So he goes in, and he's talking to his buddy and the kid, and it was not clear to me, and maybe that's because I was watching it while kind of doing a couple other things, that the child was not playing in the tourney to start. Like, because you meet the Pontiac Hoods, and these guys are grown men with, like, cut off sleeves, and I guess they all work at a pizza joint. They all
they're all wearing aprons,
right? And I'm just like, wait a minute.
Now, in all fairness,
why are these like mid 20s jacked pizza employees playing against a kid stuck in a wheelchair?
For like a group of evil like douchebags, they are a pretty diverse group of evil douchebags. So
this whole show is fairly diverse. Yeah. Every team is very diverse. The bad guys are diverse. The good guys are diverse. The mid-grade characters are diverse. So, like, good on them for that. But anyways, so Michael talks to his buddy. They go in. They meet this kid in the wheelchair. They go. They shoot some hoops. The kid turns out to be a natural at shooting hoops. Then dickhead number one walks in. I forget exactly what he's going to shoot him for. Kid fucking whiffs on it. Dude drains the shot. Kid goes, I fucking hate myself, and just wheels himself into traffic. This is my favorite scene.
I think it was something like for them to play in the tournament. Like, the Pontiac Hood, the guy that heads up the Pontiac Hoods was like, I tell you what, if you make this shot, if I will play you in shooting, and if you miss these shots, or if you make these shots, then I'm out. What we wanted.
Oh, is that what he
We won't play.
For?
Yeah. And then just, like, rubbed it in the kid's face, and the kid whiffed it.
Yeah, the kid whiffs it and then acts like a seventh-grade bitch. And then wheels himself out into traffic.
Just wheels himself out directly in front of a cab as it's barreling
down.
Q,
the only interesting/best part about this show is, so Michael and his buddy come out of the basketball arena, and they see the kid in the path of this 1980s, like, Chicago stereotypical
cab.
Checker cab.
Yeah.
And then Michael runs out to the kid, and then he says something like, it's Pro Stars time or some shit like that. And instead of pulling him backwards out of the path of the now stopping taxi cab, he jumps, ignites the retro rockets on his shoes, and lands on the top of the cab.
Yep. In the meantime, like, any type of real physics-taking effect there would have just dumped the kid out onto the pavement in front of that cab.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, it was amazing. Like, the kid wheels himself out down these stairs into the path of a fucking goddamn cab. And I was just like, this show goes hard.
Yeah, this is a really bad character arc for the kid.
For the kid, because
he starts out really confident and talented. And now he's, like, missing shots and despondent.
Yeah, he's super upbeat about, like, he's like, hey, I'm in a wheelchair. You just got to believe in yourself. I can be an athlete, too. And then all of a sudden, he's like, I'm a bitch. But anyways, they save the fucking kid by jumping onto the roof of the cab. And then the cabbie, evidently has had a bunch of interactions with famous Chicago athletes. Oh, by the way, they're in Chicago, and Michael Jordan is the star player on the Chicago Bulls, and everybody in Chicago is like, oh, hey, Michael, and they're not like, oh, my God, it's Michael Jordan.
Yeah, can I touch you?
Yeah.
Let me touch your face.
Yeah. And what does the cabbie say? Hold on.
Smell you later, douchebags. I don't know.
Oh, that's right. He said, it's better than the time I loaned an oil filter to Mike Ditka. Like, what the fuck? This show is so fucking terrible.
Everybody in Chicago knows each other. We're all, on a first-name basis with each other.
Yeah, we're all boys. Yeah. It's not the number one murder capital of the United States or anything. Yeah. We're just cool. We're just loaning out car parts.
Good times.
So, anyways, they go talk to him. Tournament starts, and the Pontiac Hoods are doing everything that everybody said the Pontiac Hoods would do. And Michael Jordan's best bro, who's the referee, just loses control of every game and lets the Pontiac Hoods just beat the shit out of anybody they play.
Yeah, it doesn't disqualify him at all, doesn't foul them out.
No, he's not fouling players out. He's not calling any fouls. He's just like, man, this fucking sucks. Fuck shit. There's about 10 minutes of random basketball where the Pontiac Hoods are just beating people up, and then they got the best team to come in and play against them. I forget what the name of them are.
The Eagles.
That's right. They were the Eagles. The Eagles get beat, and the Pontiac Hoods advance to the finals, and then the team that was supposed to face the Pontiac Hoods in the finals forfeits. And then all of a sudden, cue the whole, the plot line we all saw coming. The Pro Stars are now going to play basketball against the Pontiac Hoods. And in the course of this game, Michael Jordan gets totally just, he gets essentially cut blocked by the Pontiac Hoods, and he falls on his ankle and he sprains it. And then there's this whole useless scene of him learning how to play in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
And then the Pro Stars win the game, and then everybody's happy at the end. And then that's it.
Yeah. And, the kid gets his confidence back because the kid is teaching Michael Jordan how to play in a wheelchair. Yeah.
And he's on the team, and he scores a winning point.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
This show does not even warrant conversation at the end of it, because Michael Jordan was one of the meanest motherfuckers on a basketball court ever.
Yeah.
If the Pontiac Hoods cut blocked him like that, he'd be like, no, I'm going into play, and I'm going to fucking
hurl the
basketball off that guy's fucking nose, punch him in the dick, and then I'm going to fucking dunk over him.
And probably slam my foot on his Achilles tendon.
And then I'm going to go fucking wag my tongue at his girlfriend. There's no, I got to be in a wheelchair and I'm a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing that I don't get. You're the Pontiac All-Stars, right? You're playing a game against Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player of all times, Bo Jackson, an incredible athlete, and Wayne Gretzky, a hockey player, all very athletic, but albeit different types of athletes, and then a kid. The first fucking thing I'm doing if these dirtbags are playing is I'm taking Michael Jordan out as quickly as possible. I would in there and just kick him in the knee and just try to blow his knee out. First thing I'd do. Because I could probably win a basketball tournament against Wayne Gretzky, a kid in a wheelchair, and Bo Derek. Or Bo Jackson.
Bo Derek. Bo Jackson, maybe not. Bo Jackson was an incredible athlete.
Yeah, but he would have to be carrying the entire team at that point in time. I'm just saying, their strategy was a good one. They just needed to enact it sooner, essentially.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, it goes back to my original point of it's just, it's trashy. It's just, I did not like this show. It was stupid. It just was dumb. But
Go to 11-11 and see how lazily they're animating the ref.
11-11. Oh my god! I didn't notice that. Wow.
Nice. It's basically two cells are just flipping between.
It's just, yeah. It's he's resetting, burp, burp, burp.
Nice.
It's right foot, right foot, right foot, right foot.
Good
that's amazing. Yeah, dude, this show sucked.
Also, 11:33.
Okay, 11:33.
Look at the audience.
Oh my god. Oh,
they're not even moving. They're just drawn in there.
It's just background art, yeah. And not background art.
They're like the screen blow up.
They all have their mouths wide open. It's like the Scream.
God, I don't know what you guys are talking about. This is phenomenal animation.
Why are they so surprised?
This is grade A television.
What? Yeah.
What's so scary? They look terrified.
It's the Pontiac Hoods. They're so scary the way they play basketball.
I can't unsee that.
I mean, I guess at the end of the day, we watched the episode that I, in kind of digging through some of this, people were like, this is the best Pro Stars episode because they actually play sports.
You got the good one.
Oh, seriously?
This was the good one?
We got the good one? No. Oh, my God. This is insane.
Yeah.
This is kind of making me want to go back and watch Widget the World Watcher.
Oh, yeah.
I was so happy having, like, a vaguely fond memory of this as my in my childhood. Because I remember watching this and thinking sports cool.
You watched this when you were a kid?
I remember.
That's like, surprising to me.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I wanted to be, like, good at sports. Because I wasn't.
I don't know. You and I played a pretty mean game of soccer that one time. I kicked you in the face.
I think that was when I finally gave up on my dream of ever being able
to... Oh, no! It was because of me? Well, no!
It was a combination of things. Also, me being lazy. I think it was mostly lazy.
I just like to think that, like, in a sliding door scenario in a world where you never met me, you became, like...
the
best highlight star that ever existed.
Oh, my God.
Crossover it into pro wrestling, Highline Pro Wrestling.
I actually think that lives rent-free in my brain a lot, that movie, everything. I always forget the name of it, but the alternate worlds things. I think about that.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yes. I spend an unhealthy amount of time thinking about alternate parallel universes. But then again, it just helps me fall asleep, so...
Yeah.
If you know.
So that's a good point. Why don't we get into the next segment here then?
Anyways.
All right. That show is trash. I don't know why we were into that sort of shit. Like, man, I've been a sports fan my whole life, and I just, like, I don't think I was even into this stuff when I was a kid.
I just looked at it. I like this. You were a sports fan all your life, but now, no longer. Because of the Pro Stars. They have turned you off
of
sports.
That's it. I'm over. I'm not watching football this season because of the Pro Stars.
Nice.
Yeah, for the record, I wasn't good at sports. So from the non-sportsing population, this was like something inspiring for us.
Well, I'm kind of curious. Derek, did you see this when you were a kid?
I don't remember necessarily watching this show when I was a kid. I do remember watching a lot of, or like being... I remember a lot of media like this where they took sports stars and they put them into very kid-oriented kind of things that were tangential to sports, I guess you could say. Like, so, for example, now I haven't watched it, but Nickelodeon during the NFL playoffs, during the early game, will do a Nickelodeon cast of the playoff game. And it does the Nickelodeon spin on it. It's got some on-scene graphics, so like when a touchdown is scored, like slime comes out and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's watching a football game with kind of a kid's spin to it. And the announcers still announce the football game, and they do some, like, you know, like some wacky and zany stuff or whatever. But it's still sports. It's not like, hey, this is Tom Brady is a superhero, or, you know, like Aaron Judge or Shohei Ohtani, if you guys follow anything baseball, arguably the best baseball player to put on a fucking uniform in the past 100 years is currently playing for the Angels. He's not out there, like, fighting dragons, you know? He's just playing baseball. And so...
With dragon eggs?
I mean, he's Japanese. Dude could be out there Final Fantasy VII style with the Buster Sword. Just fucking slaying motherfuckers. But yeah, so I don't remember watching this, but I do remember being wrapped up in that kind of cult of personality with some of the, again, the ancillary things of sports. And looking back on it now, I'm just like, man, when my kid's old enough, I'm just going to be like, hey, this is sports. I like, your dad likes football. Like, you're a girl, and I'm totally going to push you down the path into skiing and snowboarding. That's the only path I'm going to push you in. Everything else you can choose on your own. But if you want to follow, like, lady skiers and lady snowboarders, like, go for it. Like, hell yeah. But they're not out there with laser guns fighting mecha.
Yeah.
They're just dropping huge lines. Like, fuck yeah. But yeah, no, I'm glad as a society, and I think Mike nailed it, is the fact that this was in the age of corporate grab, like corporate cash grab, and now like we can use our athletes, we can give them sponsorship money to do other things instead of terrible fucking cartoons.
Yeah.
Or
we can have them do good cartoons. Mm-hmm. Who knows? David, did you see this when you were a kid? Did you watch this thing when you were a kid?
No, I don't think I even knew about it.
Yeah. Neither did I. I was not privy of this until it popped up on our list.
I like it. Well, I don't. Well, who cares what you don't like? I care.
Okay, guys, so was this Amazeballs or Terrorballs?
This was terrible.
It was terrible. It was
100%.
This wasn't even. This was not even amazing. I don't even know how to put that together. I've had
amazingly terrible.
This was not amazingly. I was trying to put in the balls port it like amazing balls, terrible balls. No, it was just fucking trash.
But
the only thing that this show had going for it was the fact that it was fairly self-aware in the early 90s to not make the enemy team be all white or all black.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was actually fairly diverse.
That's true.
I mean, all the character models totally skipped leg day. Not sure if you guys noticed that. They were extraordinarily top-heavy, all of them.
Well, you know, if you're playing basketball, you need to, you know, focus everything on your upper body. You don't want to do anything on your lower body. You got
to
work up
totally.
This.
Like you don't need to jump.
Nope.
Or
don't need to jog. Don't need to run.
Or work on like.
So
leg things.
Is that a stereotype then? Like
what?
The skinny legs. Like, why would you purposefully draw that in unless you're trying to stereotype or you know,
that
like the
kind of is a stereotype among like a certain amount of like gym bros?
Yeah, this show is just awful.
It's funny, there was a guy in one of my Krav Maga classes in DC. Really nice guy. He was a firefighter. Big dude. He was like 6'4", 6'5", something like that. And I used to always partner with him. But he had, like, he was just like jacked. He was like hugely muscle bound, broad shoulders. You could tell that he could pretty much like lift up anything, but he had tiny little legs. And I don't know if it was because he skipped leg day all the time or if he just like genetics just couldn't build mass in his legs for whatever reason.
No, yeah, he skipped leg day. Like, so, well, so, okay, hold on. Let me ask you this. He had tiny calves or his legs in general were small?
I think his legs in general were small. It wasn't just that
he
had tiny calves.
He skipped leg day. Like,
oh, yeah.
So if you, the fastest muscle to put on mass in your body.
Your quads.
Is your quads and your ass.
Mm-hmm. Like, quads and glutes.
That is, like, if you look at the fitness trend over the past 10 years with young women, like, it used to be, like, slim and toned, and now it's, like, big booty. It's very, very easy to sculpt a butt. You just get under heavy weight and you move it. It doesn't have to be on a squat rack. It can be on a sled. You just move heavy weight, you know, and you will gain butt muscle. So if you're a dude and you are muscle bound and you got skinny legs, that's not genetics. Now, calves actually are genetic.
Because it's hard, like, to put on mass on your calves.
It's very hard to put on mass in your calves. You can look at Olympic weightlifters. You can look at
sprinters,
football linemen, sprinters, whatever. some of these guys who you're just like, they have immense power in their legs. Some of them have humongous calves. Some of them have very small calves, and that is genetics. Mm-hmm. And you just, doesn't matter. The calves you get are the calves you get. So if you want bigger calves and you got skinny calves, well, go fuck yourself. If you got big calves and you want skinny calves, well, you got big calves. That's it.
Should we keep this show on the list?
No.
Absolutely fucking not.
No.
I don't want to.
I go that way.
This show is terrible.
David, it has been confirmed online that we watched the best one.
Yeah. There's nowhere else to go.
There's nowhere else to go but down.
It's actually.
I don't even have a chance to channel Matt and vote it on.
Nice.
Oh, no. It's the show we deserve.
Because hearing this is the best one only makes me want to watch more of them.
Do you want to try to compel us anyway? Try to get us an argument for? Maybe you could convince Derek and I to switch sides there.
I just want to see if this is the good one, I really want to see what the bad ones are like.
I don't even want to waste my time watching this.
Maybe they do get really racist, you know? Maybe they, like... Because there's like, what's the one that you were talking about, Derek, where they like went to go save some tribe's water supply?
It doesn't matter. The show fucking blows.
Well, did the material write itself tonight? Because if it was easy, then, you know, we got another easy episode of just trashing it again.
Oh, for what we're talking about now? Nah, I don't think that this is like our high water point.
I think most of the material is like the research and not really repeatable.
Yeah.
If it don't work,
Wayne Gretzky complaining about when he was six fucking years old.
Seriously, this show sucks. Don't even put it on again. Like the majority of this episode, we weren't even talking about the show.
Yeah. But would you let your children watch it?
No,
it's fucking like, no. All the, like
peak no, capitalistic all the propaganda. Hell like, no.
No, I'm not letting my daughter watch this because it's fucking garbage. Like, I know most of the time, like, we try, and at this point in the night, we're like, it's 10:50, and we were all a couple drinks or a couple fucking smoky treats deep, and we're trying to be like, oh, I wouldn't let my daughter watch this because of the fucking negative views. Stop. All fucking stop. Full reverse. This show sucks turbo balls. Just fucking bury the bitch. I'm not letting my kid watch this because it's trash. And she also doesn't fucking know who Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, and fucking Bo Knows is right now.
Yeah, but this is when you could teach them. You could teach her. This is the time.
Yeah, I'll teach her by showing videos of them doing awesome shit and not fucking helping goddamn disabled kids out in a fucking cartoon.
I don't know. I'm sure they helped out disabled kids in real life.
Michael Jordan did not.
Did they?
he's a colossal jerk.
Really? He's that bad?
No, because he was that good at basketball. And you're just like, you kind of earned that.
You're allowed to spit in my face because you can slam dunk.
Is Tom Cruise like that also?
Slam dunk and a slam dunk. Tom Cruise, apparently,
I think Tom Cruise
is nice, from what I understand.
He's good to work with.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's a very professional and very hardworking actor, and when you work with him, he creates a very positive environment.
To piggyback what off Adam said, as a professional, I think Tom Cruise would probably be pretty wonderful to work with as long as your shit was squared away. Mm. Yeah. Now, some of his personal views?
You mean like when he like shit all over Brooke Shields and blacklisted her for having postpartum depression?
Yeah, he's done some crazy shit. But again, as a professional, I think that he would actually be... That unless you were a soup sandwich yourself, I think he would be pretty good to work with.
I had only read the rumors, so yeah. It's good to know.
Well, as long as you kept your thetans in line, you're fine.
So, Derek, what change do you want to make to the list?
An insurmountable pile of wonderful awfulness.
Ooh.
Oh, boy. Oh, God, I don't even know. We're so deep into this list now. We're like Matrix with three X's deep.
Nice. Are you open to suggestions?
No.
Do you want to talk it out?
We're just going to try and put Spider-Man.
Yes! Spider-Man! Spider-Man.
Let's see here. Bogle, chill, bro.
For whatever reason, this watching Pro Stars made me want to watch the Beetlejuice series.
Oh,
go back and watch that one. I don't know why.
I don't know why either, but Beetlejuice is good.
It was pretty good. It was a pretty good cartoon.
I remember watching that.
Yeah. You don't want to buff the Wild West Cowboys of Moo Mesa?
No. Only because I've never heard of it, and I'm scrolling through, let's vote up Space Sentinels from 1977. It's line 325, and we will replace.
But it doesn't replace. You either like.
Oh, we just vote, bump it up.
Yeah, you either vote something up or you vote something off, basically. Or you buff something if you wanted to buff.
Yeah, let's just vote that up. It's whatever. Like, we've seen a lot of these shows that we all remember. Let's watch some weird shit.
Yeah. Ooh, this is good.
Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Yeah, Space Sentinels, a 1977 Filmation show.
Yeah.
Looks a lot like, what was the Barbarian? The first episode we fucking did.
Thundar.
Thundar, yeah. Thundar. Looks a lot like Thundar. Thundar! Thundar, Thundar!
Every time I test my bandwidth, it's Ookla, and I'm like, Ookla!
Ookla!
Ookla! And I'm like, oh, that was a good episode.
That actually wasn't half bad. Like, after we've watched a lot of these horrible shit cartoons, I feel like Thundar was actually pretty good.
Yes.
Didn't know what we had.
Yes. Exactly.
And right. And I'd like to also bring up, that was a dark time in my past, and some of those previous episodes, I was heavily intoxicated. And so I want to let everyone know that I'm drinking a lot less.
I don't think anybody noticed.
Oh, Adam, you're such a nice guy.
We first started this out. We first started getting the setup. I sent a copy to, or I had my sister listen to one episode to like let me know. And like literally, the first note she had was like, "You do realize like Mike is really drunk throughout this."
Yes,
like, yes we know that.
Whatever.
Yeah,
life happens. Yeah. Full send.
You're doing better now.
I'm doing better now. Yes.
That is the important part, buddy.
We want cartoons 26 hours a day.
You ready?
What's our next one?
Yes. Yeah. Lay it on us, David.
I mean, what is index 2252?
2252. That's going to be Spawn.
Oh.
1997 to 1999. Spawn. This was like an adult oriented cartoon,
yeah,
right? Much like Max.
Uh-huh.
Was this like an HBO or Cinemax?
I don't think
show?
This one was on cable TV, was it?
I don't know.
But I also this was not geared for kids.
Look up episode 16.
Spawn TVMA. So yeah, definitely for the adults in the room. Oh, Keith David played Spawn. Nice. This is going to be good. Nice.
But this pretty much means none of us saw this, right?
I think I remember seeing a couple episodes, but it has been a very long time.
Oh, that's right. You had the scrambled
TV. Yeah, I might have seen
one
or two.
Or the descrambled TV.
I did not. I did not have the descrambler. Okay, so episode 6 is the end of season 1.
16.
So we're looking at episode 6 as the end of season 2. So we need to be episode 4, is that right? Season 3, episode 4?
Sounds right.
If we have figured that out, this is going to be Hunter's Moon. Victims are found torn apart in Spawn's alley. Sam and Twitch believe it's the work of the man in the red cloak. At the crime scene, Lisa Wu sees a girl she recognizes as Lily, a celestial outcast and vampire hired by heaven to kill the Hellspawn. Seems pretty deep.
Wow.
Aired on 26 May 1999.
This is going to go to you, Adam.
Nice, nice. Todd McFarlane's Spawn. Nice. Let me make sure I got the right one. Yep, Wikipedia. Hunter's Moon. That's what it's going to be. Excellent. Excellent. All right, so on a future episode of Amazingly Terrible, we'll be watching Spawn, episode 16, Hunter's Moon. But next time on Amazingly Terrible, we'll be watching...
Due to technical difficulties, episode 77 has been lost.
For Amazingly Terrible, I've been Adam.
I've been Mike.
I've been David.
And I still say, fuck the Russians!
Oh yeah.
Amazingly Terrible is produced by David and Adam. Music by Josh Woodward. Send your email to monotonouslyterrific@amazinglyterrible.com.
So you guys have any big plans this weekend? Anything going on? Anything in your part of the world that's interesting that we could talk about now as we go into our outro?
Me and Derek are going to play some Netrunner.
Yeah, I'm fucking stoked. This is the first weekend that I've actually been able to get up for this. So nice. I'm going to bring all my Netrunner cards, and I'm going to get absolutely pancaked by a bunch of dudes who know how to play.
Nice. Oh, you guys are actually like playing in a proper tournament?
No, we're just going up to the boardroom.
Oh, okay.
Was it in DuPont or whatever?
Yep.
Gotcha. Cool. It's just you two guys?
I think Dan said he could come.
Cool.
Yeah, Chris last weekend said, hey, can we push to next weekend? Because he was in somewhere else, and then I had a couple things to do, and I was like, oh, thank God. Like, last weekend would have been a little bit tough, but this weekend I have everything laying flat, so I'm definitely stoked to come up.
I tried to aim it for when, like, your family was away.
Yeah, it's just that they left, and I got given this list of projects to do. So they're all done now, and so
yeah,
this
like
weekend
an
I can just
honey-do
be...
List.
I can just be fucking straight goblin mode and just do everything. All right. I got to go take the dogs out. Keep the bullshitting going. I will be right back.